This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Time for a deep dive into the one issue that matters most in a capitalist democracy, money. This is Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, a joint production of the Maggie Dawn Show and the Patriotic Millionaires.
What's up, Wisconsin and beyond? It's 3 o'clock, so it's Maggie and the Millionaires Talk Money. Some big economic data dropped today, and of course, that means the freakout has begun. I'm so glad I have a very knowledgeable expert to help us break it all down. Her name is Michelle Evermore. She's a senior fellow at the Century Foundation and a former Biden Department of Labor official. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show, Michelle. So happy to have you here to help put all of this in context for everyone.
I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
So the anticipated jobs numbers, in other words, and the jobs numbers that we're talking about, let's define what we're actually talking about here, are the monthly job creation numbers. These are generated by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which is a part of the federal government, the executive branch, nonpartisan. They give us really good data, so important. These are nerds. God bless them. As a fellow nerd, I like to say that. And the expectation, the prediction was that the newly added jobs numbers would be somewhere north of 100,000. They came in at 12,000, and hence the panic has ensued. Michelle, help put this in context for everybody.
I mean, I'm relatively surprised that despite two major hurricanes and some large labor disputes, the economy still added 12,000 jobs, maintaining the unemployment rate at 4.1%. If you remember, back in July, it was 4.3%. It was 4.2% in August. Overall, this is, to me, boring and stable, and the kind of thing that I like to see as an unemployment insurance expert.
Yeah, the fact and the reason that the jobs numbers, again, are lower are the things that you just mentioned. We had a massive supply chain and labor disruption, talking about the striking longshoremen on the East Coast. And we had, of course, these two massive hurricanes. All of that disrupts and people stop hiring because, you know, they're putting sandbags down and trying to dry out their businesses. Are those the primary causes for this lower than expected jobs report?
That's exactly right. And I would point out that the Boeing strike, which accounts for a huge part of the equation here, is very likely to be over on Monday, as they've got a contract that they're voting on Monday. So, you know, that alone will help solve the problem a little bit. One thing I point out is that Daniel Zhao, a senior economist at Glassdoor, pointed out that the sum rule, which has been triggered on for many months, actually triggered off this month. For those of you not as obsessed with Claudia Sahm as I am, the sum rule is a recession indicator that cues the start of a recession when the three-month moving average of the national unemployment rate rises by half a percentage point or more relative to its average in the previous 12 months, or relative to its low in the previous 12 months, sort of.
It's a relative comparison, right? To sort of de-tech speak this, the SOM rule points to basically a three-month rolling average comparison of unemployment to the prior rolling 3 months. So it's a constantly evolving relative comparison. And when you see big fluctuations, especially downward fluctuations or upward fluctuations, it can be an indicator of whether or not you might be entering or there's a possibility of a recession. We're finally basically in the green zone. Am I getting that correct, Michelle?
Yeah, I think, you know, this is as soft a landing as we could have imagined. You know, we've had so many consecutive months of economic growth, more than any period in the last 25 years. So, you know, I don't think a slightly weak jobs report today is really anything anybody should panic about. I mean, if you look at the Dow, it's up. Last I looked, it was up 500 points. And so it looks like investors aren't panicking.
Well, and part of that is because, and we've talked about this on the show before, the Fed is basically trying to balance unemployment and robust employment with interest rate policy. And if you have a, quote, too hot economy, meaning like the economy is booming, there's huge numbers of jobs being added, which tends to indicate, all else being equal, that wages are increasing, there's more money to be spent, they get a little nervous about inflation. So in fact, if you're concerned about inflation, these lower than expected job numbers are actually good news, because it makes it more likely than not, all else being equal, that the Fed is likely to lower interest rates again, perhaps a larger tick down than would have otherwise occurred absent all of these other, frankly, shocks that we had in this last month. Am I getting that part right, Michelle?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So the Fed decreased the rate by 50 basis points last month. Folks were expecting the Fed to decrease it by maybe 25 basis points the next couple months. But I think this jobs report might actually mean good things for the interest rate.
Yes.
Which will make it easier for people to buy things.
Instead of a quarter point percentage rate reduction, when we nerds talk basis points, it's another way of expressing percentages as fractional percentages. So instead of the Fed bringing down the interest rate by just a quarter of a percent, likely, at least some are arguing that it'll be a 0.5% reduction. Again, that's really good for all of you out there. If you've got consumer credit, you got car loans, home equity loans with variable rates, all that kind of good stuff, that's good for you. Interest rates going down. I also, Michelle, being a data nerd, had to go look up some jobs number averages. And since you worked in the Department of Labor in the Biden administration, I wanted to share these with you and ask you if these numbers surprised you at all. When you compare, and again, calculating averages here based on Bureau of Labor Statistics data, the average number of monthly job ads under H.W. Bush, W. Bush, and Trump is under 10,000 a month. That is their average over those administrations. Under Clinton and Obama, the average job ads per month, just over 175,000. So you go from under 10,000 for those Republican administrations to up over 175,000 in the Obama and Clinton administrations. And President Biden, his average job ads per month, upwards of 350,000. So context here matters. I think these averages deeply matter. Michelle, explain why these averages should be really important to every single one of you listening in Wisconsin and beyond, if you're a working person.
Yeah, no, I was around in the late 90s when there was this huge debate over whether it was even possible to have sustained unemployment under 5% and not have massive, massive inflation. And here we've had sustained employment under 5% and decreasing inflation down to like normal levels. And labor force participation is increasing. So the number of people of working age who are either in the workplace or looking for work is at a historic level. And real wages are increasing. So yeah, this is sort of an economic unicorn what we're looking at here.
Yeah, I too, having come up in that early 90s period of economics, remember this debate going on. Could we actually, again, the low sustained unemployment and a low interest rate environment, can it even be done? We're doing it here with rising wages, which again, usually has upward inflationary pressure and a lot of economic growth, GDP growth, as well as productivity growth. It is a very strong economy. To put it in political context, whether you are a worker and you receive a paycheck, or you are a business owner or shareholder, these are all good indicators for you. We're doing well. Now, we need to do far better for working people in this country, whether it be wage policy, how we deal with organized labor, of course, or tax policy. But again, I think the bigger context here is really important. We've also heard a lot of hubbub about jobs number revisions. Can you explain what this is and why that occurs?
Yeah, so the jobs report we saw today is based on two surveys, one of employers and one of employees. And actually, the employer response this month was very low in the 47.4%. And so what's going to happen is later on, they will take a look at more holistic numbers based on unemployment insurance filings from employers and get a much better picture that's just more complete. And I'm going to warn you right now, because the employers didn't respond to the survey, I expect we'll see a decent revision from this month. And because I think the employers that didn't respond are employers who have been affected by the hurricane.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so despite all of the hysteria that's happening, especially, you know, on one spectrum end of the media talkosphere, Michelle, do listeners, do Wisconsinites, regular working people out there, each and every one of you, should people be worried about a slowing economy, or do we still see? And again, these are all discrete data points. The economy, we have to look at basically at a macro level. But are people looking at a strengthening economy or a slowing economy?
So here's what the larger macroeconomic situation is. Congress and this administration took a bet on very ambitious fiscal policy. We spent a lot of money building roads, building infrastructure, building a green economy that's going to actually have ripple effects in the economy for decades. And we made a bet that we have been a little bit shy about making in the past, right? During the Great Recession, we maybe didn't go as big and as fast. And this time we went big and we went fast, and we see what happened. You can spend your way out of an economic crisis, and that's exactly what we did. And I'm going to quote Jared Bernstein, the chair of the Economic Council on Economic Advisors. He tweeted this morning, "Upside or downside, we're always going on about not over-torquing on any one month's data. Well, that's especially true for October payrolls heavily impacted by strikes and weather events."
Yep. Very, very to the point he is. I wanted to ask you lastly, we got just about a minute left. Wanted to ask you, we hear a lot of people talk about the amount of money the federal government spends in disaster relief. And certainly everyone intuitively understands and reads this as infrastructure spending to get communities back up and running. But in the long term, how does the federal government help get people back to work if jobs have been lost? How does the government help regular people recover from these disasters? And are we doing enough?
Right. There's something called disaster unemployment assistance that not very many people know about, but people who wouldn't ordinarily be eligible for regular unemployment can apply for and receive this benefit, which is at least equal to regular unemployment. It might be higher if you're on the lower end of the income spectrum because there's a higher benefit minimum. Folks who can't get to their jobs because of the disaster, or lost their jobs because of the disaster, or even lost a job that they were offered because of the disaster, all can apply for and get that benefit, which is really important to the local economy.
As well as the
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab him by the I can do anything.
What's up, Wisconsin and beyond? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going to have you covered on election night. We got special election night covered. We got all the Civic Media talk show hosts. We got Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. We've got you covered. Tune in starting 6 o'clock all across the Civic Media Radio Network. And today, very excited to bring on my former boss, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. He's going to be at the Kamala Harris rally later this evening. Going to hear Glorilla and Flo Millie, MC Light, the Isley Brothers, DJ Gemini, Jilly, and Cardi B, along with VP Harris. What is up, David? Thanks so much for making time.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for having me. I hope you're doing well, and always a pleasure to be on with you, Maggie.
Oh, it's good to hear your voice, friend. Wow, we are days away. I sure hope things go well. How you feeling leading up to the big day?
You know, a lot of anxiety because the day is almost here. I mean, 4 days away from the election. I know many people are counting down and can't wait to get to their normal commercials. But I also have to tell you, I'm extremely energized. I'm really ready. I'm feeling like Miss Edith back during the 2008 race, where I'm fired up and I'm ready to go. Ready to continue to get out the vote, knock on some doors, and really excited to be having the opportunity to witness so many entertainers and seeing the Madam Vice President tonight. But that lets you know how important Milwaukee is, how important this state is, to see how the Madam Vice President and the many surrogates who support her have been coming to Milwaukee to show support.
Amen to all of that. I love seeing some of the data, the internal polling coming out from campaigns. Lots of new voters, people deciding that they're going to vote, seem to be breaking for VP Harris. I hope that shows up and down the ticket. Some news broke yesterday, David, and I wanted to get your reaction to it because, you know, is this a semi sort of October surprise thing? Now, I'll set it up for you so you know what you're listening to. A guy that has done a lot of research and investigative journalism surrounding Jeffrey Epstein, his name is Michael Wolff. He came out and said he literally has hundreds of hours of Epstein recordings talking about his relationship with Donald Trump and how close they were. I thought we could take a listen and we could get your reaction. Cardi, this is going to be cut 13. Let me know when you're ready. We are ready to go. Let's take a listen, David. I'll get your reaction next.
I think we have a snippet from one of the conversations that I recorded with Epstein, and I think this was in a restaurant in 2017.
His people fight each other.
Right.
And then have outsiders. He sort of poisons the well outside. He will tell 10 people Bannon's a scumbag, and Priest is not doing a good job, and Kelly has a big mouth. And what do you think? Jamie Dimon says that you're a problem. And I shouldn't keep you. And I spoke to Carl Icahn. And Carl thinks I need a new spokesperson. So Kelly, even though I hired Kellyanne's husband, Kellyanne's just too much of a wild goat. And then he tells Bannon, you know, I really want to keep you, but Kellyanne hates you.
I have more than dozens. I probably have 100 hours of Epstein talking about the inner workings of the Trump White House and about his longstanding, deep relationship with Donald Trump.
So this is really interesting. And the reason that I wanted to ask you about this, Mr. County Executive, is because what he's describing as Trump's leadership style is basically to create paranoia amongst his staff and then pit them against one another. Like every day in Donald Trump's head is like this weird little mini version of The Apprentice, right? It's all a big joke to him to sort of like serve his ego at a certain level. Perhaps not a joke, but it's all this weird zero-sum competition in his head. You know, you're a leader. You have led Milwaukee County, I think, in an incredibly effective way. You've gotten so much accomplished. What is it, if you're talking to voters, tell them, like, what do you look for in, say, a state-level executive, our governor, or in the national CEO, our president? What do you think people should be queuing in on what they need, what we should ask for in our top leaders?
You know, I mean, we don't need the apprentice in the White House, right? We need somebody who's going to be thoughtful. We need someone who's going to be compassionate, but also who's going to make some tough decisions. And when I think about my administration and what we have done is that when you have staff and you have people running many departments that have the ability to make a huge impact on somebody's lives, you want those individuals to understand that the people come first. This isn't about how we are creating a rat race for people to preserve their own power and position. That's not what government is there for. We are there to make sure that the services that we provide not only uplift people, but we have the ability to protect people in things related to public safety, things related to a pandemic, something that Donald Trump has not done throughout his presidency, and he will not do moving forward. And so what I want people to understand is that this isn't a game. Running for president isn't a game. We need someone like Kamala Harris who's going to keep the American people first and that's going to govern everybody and be a president for everyone, even those who disagree with what she is and who she is. So it's extremely important that, one, Donald Trump was connected to Jeffrey Epstein, y'all. Mm-hmm. Like, let's keep that in perspective, mm-hmm. right? Like, we have to think that there's a lot that has not been uncovered, so much that we know that his continuous lies is only to make sure that we don't pay attention to what Project 2025 is going to do to this country. And so, you know, don't get caught in his smoke and mirrors. He's shown us who he is. He continues to show you who he's going to be. And let's make sure that we reject that. Now, we're going to go back an hour on Sunday. Let's not take the country back on Tuesday.
That is Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. Thank you for taking Milwaukee County forward and for helping us all realize that our voice can be heard in the ballot box. Let's move forward, y'all. Have a great time at the rally, yeah. County Executive. Always good to hear from you. Thank you so much for your time, sir. When we come back, I'm going to be joined by 1st Congressional District candidate Peter Barker. Get his reaction to some of these recent haps. Keep it locked, folks. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
I'm going to do it whether the women like it or not.
What's up, Wisconsin and beyond? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember, you can always watch us on the Civic Media's YouTube channel. You should follow me, Maggie Dawn Show, at Maggie Dawn Show on the X, Insta, and Facebook. I've been tweeting more than usual lately. Seems I might have a couple of things to say. But I mostly want to hear what my next guest has to say, a man who actually has gotten things done on a bipartisan basis, a man who is actually run complex governmental departments, a man who has served not just in state government, but has already served in federal government, a guy that basically knows how to get things done for his constituents and puts people before party. My friend and yours, 1st Congressional District candidate, Peter Barker, former congressman, former assemblyman, former head of the Department of Revenue here in the state of Wisconsin. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show, Peter. Great to have you.
Maggie, terrific to be with you again. Thank you so much.
It's good to have you. There has been a lot that has happened this week over the past few days in terms of rhetoric from Donald Trump and his surrogates, both with respect to his political enemies, with respect to people of color, specifically Puerto Ricans. And finally, within the last 2 days, with respect to women, I wanted to give you an opportunity, Peter, to address that rhetoric, either in each part or as a whole, as you wish, sir. Please, what are your thoughts?
Well, I you know, personally, I've tried my entire career to be respectful of people, whether you disagree politically or not. I feel like that's so important. And
you know, and it's unfortunate for any political leader that they don't recognize the fact that you have a certain moral leadership, you know, to try and bring people together in this country. And that should always be the goal. You know, even in my campaign, I brought up differences between my opponent and I where we disagree on policy issues. He wants to give tax breaks to the top 1% and lower, you know, corporate taxes, even though they're already lower than what the U.S. Chamber called for. And it'll cost the middle class money. I want to provide tax breaks to the middle class, to working families, to small businesses who are the engine that drives the economy. And, you know, to me, it's, you know, we're called upon, I think, to talk about issues that affect real people and not to, you know, do smear campaigns or, you know, we should be setting an example for our children, quite frankly. And I just think that's so important. And, you know, sadly, my opponent has run ads that have nothing to do with issues, that he through innuendo says some group that maybe supports me has a position. So that's my position, which bears no resemblance to the truth. And it's just so unfortunate. I hope people take into account that, you know, sort of the ethical and moral standards that this country has.
Peter, do you feel like there's a double standard? And I don't just mean, you know, for the presidential campaign, because clearly there is a double standard between what is being demanded of Vice President Harris and what is demanded and expected of Donald Trump, as well as a double standard in terms of media coverage. Do you think that's true in these down ballot races as well, especially between you and your opponent? I mean, you've mentioned his attack ads.
Well, it's unfortunate. You know, part of the problem we have today, and that's why it's so important we begin the process to end Citizens United,
yes,
is that you have these, you know, mega special interests, these huge corporations. You know, he's gotten a ton of money from Big Pharma because he's voted three times against negotiating prescription drug costs. He's gotten tons of money. He's gotten close to $200,000 from credit card companies because he voted to raise our credit card fees. And, of course, they don't put in their ads, you know, hey, vote for this person because he doesn't want to negotiate drug prices. They just bring up, you know, just things that poll tests that have no basis in reality, quite frankly. And that's unfortunate. And I think that's what's corrupting our politics is the big money and these big corporate interests that have so much money at stake that are acting contrary to the public interest.
Yeah, I think it is absolutely unconscionable that your opponent, again, voted against trying to limit credit card fees and voted against trying to negotiate with Big Pharma over pharmaceutical price. I mean, that's just bananas to me. And I can't believe anybody in the first CD would want to vote for a guy that really doesn't, by his voting record, care about the middle class at all. It's shocking. I want to talk more about the economy. Yeah, go ahead, Peter. Sorry.
Well, yeah, no, it's true. I mean, you know, obviously he's put women's health at risk with, you know, with his, you know, working so hard to take away women's reproductive freedom. Even voting against, you know, ensuring that people have a right to birth control, for goodness sakes,
yeah.
In a vote that came up in the Congress. And so that's, you know, part of the reason I ran is that there's so much at stake in this election and we have a do-nothing, dysfunctional House of Representatives. And when they do things, sadly, they're taking away freedoms. You know, operating for special interests rather than the public interest. So we've tried to at least make people aware of that. And so it's at the end of the day, you know, you feel like I know what I'm writing for. I know who I'm fighting for. And it's to have a strong, vibrant middle class. And when you have it, actually everybody benefits. That's what's so amazing.
Yes.
Whether you're wealthy or middle class, if you have a strong, vibrant middle class, that's what made us the economic envy of the world.
I wanted to ask you in that same vein, Peter, House Speaker Mike Johnson was recently caught basically on a hot mic responding to a question saying you're going to get rid of the ACA, right? Response from Speaker Johnson, right. Where do you stand on the ACA? Where does your opponent stand? What do you want voters to know about your views and what you want to get done in Congress with respect to making and ensuring that everybody has access to health care and that health care is affordable?
Well, I appreciate the question, Meg, because it's one of the most important issues, quite frankly. I mean, what is more important than people's health care? And my opponents made it clear as part of a Republican study committee that, of course, they want to get rid of the ACA. I mean, the Republicans in Congress have tried that dozens and dozens of times. And thankfully, you had somebody that truly was an independent like John McCain that gave that big thumbs down and stopped it, because now we know as we all knew was the case, but now it's evidently clear, they didn't want to replace it with anything. But I think the most important thing people need to know is that the ACA goes away, so does your protection against pre-existing conditions.
Yes.
Because healthcare companies will not protect people unless everybody's covered. And there's not a question in my mind that if they are successful, if they control every element of government, the ACA will be gone, and people will no longer have protection against pre-existing conditions. And you're talking about, you know, millions of Wisconsinites that would be adversely affected that do have pre-existing conditions.
I also wanted to drill down a bit, Peter, on the lies that are being told on the right, sort of about polling and what people should expect in terms of outcomes. I wanted to give you the opportunity to speak directly to First Congressional District voters, all of you folks out there. Peter, what do you feel? What is your belief when we look at election security? People being able to cast their vote, getting the counts done correctly. Speak to your district, Peter, and people's anxieties about this election process.
Well, it's sad. In fact, Maggie, it's a good question because the Secretary of Revenue, 2 years ago during the election years, we would meet with our agency with various groups, you know, League of Municipalities, Towns Association, you know, all of those groups out there that are really trying to make a difference. And when the Towns Association, they came in, you know, generally they want to talk about zoning laws or tax incremental financing. They said their number one issue was the fact that they couldn't keep election officials anymore because so many of them have been threatened by people. Yeah. I mean, what a sad commentary. I mean, these are people who are our neighbors or citizens. My mom was an election worker for 30 years. And, you know, it's people that we all know. And you've got observers, Democrats and Republicans, as it should be, making sure that the counts are proper. And there's not a doubt in my mind that precinct by precinct, they're doing an accurate count. And we do have backups, thankfully. We have paper backups and the ability to double check that. And our election clerks, both Democrat and Republican, have done an excellent job over the years. And I think it's sad that more members of Congress, there's a bipartisan group, small group though, sadly, I think it was less than a dozen, that started this effort to say that they would abide by the election results. And, you know, unfortunately, my opponent wasn't one of them. Of course, he almost never is on, you know, bipartisan kinds of efforts. The Lugar Center, which is the only one that rates members of Congress for, you know, all of their activities, you know, says he's in the bottom, well, been in the bottom half of the group. I would be in the top 20 because I've always worked across the aisle. I think it's so important to give people confidence in their government and to know that people are working on their behalf.
I think, Peter, that is the most important attribute that any of us, whether we're conservatives or progressives or independents, or usually I don't vote because I think it's all the same, that metric right there, there's basically one standard bearer organization that rates elected official bipartisanship. And your opponent is in the absolute bottom. He is a hard right MAGA Christian conservative. I mean, I can't even call the guy a conservative because he doesn't abide by any sort of standard measure of conservatism. He's so far hard right. He's in the bottom, the absolute bottom rating of that bipartisanship. While you, Peter, are in the top 20 because your entire career has been about bipartisan solutions. I've talked about this once on the show before with you. I'm going to talk about it again, Peter, because you were brave. Foxconn was derided by the Democratic Party here in the state of Wisconsin. You voted for it anyways. Of course, we had some problems with that, but what it opened up was the infrastructure investment that has made this massive investment and incoming business of Microsoft there that's going to create a whole bunch of jobs. And sometimes elected officials have to make decisions that are contrary to what their party's marching orders are. And you, sir, had the courage to do that, and it's providing dividends for your constituents. If you can address why it is so important to approach things from a bipartisan support, why that has been such a hallmark of your career in government, Peter.
Well, I think because, first of all, you can ensure policies are more sustainable. When it has, when you work together to try and find common ground, then there's a much better chance it'll last for the next 20 years rather than just be repealed the next time the party leadership changes, which happens pretty regularly, unfortunately, or fortunate, depending on one's perspective. But secondly, you know, it's just so important that, in my judgment, that you're really in tune with your district. You're aware of what the people in your district are essentially there to do and what you campaign on. I mean, when I was a member of Congress, I went against my, you know, Democratic president to fight against NAFTA because I knew it would lead to the deindustrialization of America. Hmm. And that's another area where my opponent and I just drastically differ. He wants more of these kind of, you know, trade deals. And I'm for free trade, but I only want to support deals that are free and fair. And sadly, virtually every one of them have been free and not fair. And that's what's led to deindustrialization. That's what's led to people not being able to make a living. That's what's led to, you know, I think so much hardship in America. When my parent, you know, my dad immigrated to this country, you could get a job and support a family of four by working full time at a an industry that provided benefits and sadly, because these industries have left for Mexico and China and Indonesia and, you know, other places, we've lost those kind of good paying jobs.
Folks, that's Peter Barca, candidate for the 1st Congressional District. He's for free but fair trade deals, lower taxes for the middle class, supporting the ACA and improving it. Of course, access to birth control and the restoration of women's reproductive freedom, lowering credit card rates and keeping drug prices low through negotiation with Big Pharma, all things that his opponent apparently doesn't support, which I just don't get. Thanks so much, Peter. It's always a pleasure to have you. Good luck in the home stretch, sir. Up next, I'm going to have Terry Barr joining.
Thank you so much, Maggie.
Thanks, Peter. Always good to talk with you. I'm going to have Terry Barr joining me for what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin this week. We got to have some good news going into this big old weekend before the election. Keep it locked, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
I'm going to do it whether the women like it or not.
This ain't Texas. Ooh. Ain't no hold'em. Hey. So lay your cards down, 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 down. So park your Lexus. Ooh. And throw your keys up. Damned if I can't slow dance with you. Come pour some sugar on me, honey, too. It's a real live boogie and a real live hold down. Don't be a bitch, come take it to the floor now.
There's a tornado. What's up, Wisconsin? I can't believe it is the Friday before the presidential election. My head is exploding. Usually my hair's on fire, but my head is exploding. I am nauseously optimistic. Please, please promise me, y'all, you have a plan to vote and that you're voting. There is likely early voting in your jurisdiction right now. If you're already registered, go get it done. Bang it out. You can go there early voting and register and get it done. Like, don't wait until the last minute. But I do want to remind everybody, couple of things about voting very briefly. As long as you are in line to vote by 8 p.m., you will be allowed to vote. So you may need to wait your butt in line for a little while. That is all right. Just chill, bring some snacks, hang out, bring a book. Just get in line on November 5th before 8 p.m. It is not a test. You can bring materials into the ballot booth. No worries. You can bring a friend. You can phone a friend. You can phone me, for crying out. Call the Civic Media Radio Network, 855-75-CIVIC, if you need help on election day. You can do whatever you want in that voting booth. It is your voting booth. It is not a test. You also don't have to answer every question on the ballot. You can leave some races blank. You don't know what that dog catcher, what's it is. You don't know who the register needs. Don't worry about it. Go vote. It matters. It matters a lot. Please, I'm begging you, vote. But those are my three tips. 8 p.m. in line. It ain't a test. Phone a friend. And last but not least, you don't have to fill out everything on the ballot. So get her done, everybody. But it is time for some good news. Praise the Lord. It's been a long week. Terry Barr, what is good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin? Please, some good news, my friend.
Well, I'm enjoying your nauseously optimistic rather than cautiously. That's a new twist on that. So it caught me by surprise, but it made me laugh. You know, you're talking about voting, and I wanted to stay on this trend right now because, as you mentioned, it's the Friday before the big election. There is a group in Milwaukee that said, no way are we going to sit this one out. So what do you do when a bunch of creatives get together? And I'm talking artists and musicians from all over Southeast Wisconsin. They got together and created a message about voting. This is so perfect to follow up everything you've been talking about. This video message is being shared all throughout the various communities around Southeast Wisconsin, and that's what this whole idea is about. So let's take a listen to this, Cardi.
He is finding it. Everyone be patient. We've got the sound, not to worry.
I know. We might have to sing it ourselves.
Oh, my goodness. Everyone will turn the dial immediately. Cardi's going to give me a thumbs up when he finds it. He is looking. Folks, when you call in to talk with me, especially after we get through Tuesday, you're going to find a new gentleman that has joined the Maggie Dawn production team. His name is Cardi. He is figuring this out. I got to say, Terry, it must be the hardest thing on the planet. It's like, welcome new producer to the team. We're going to throw you into the deep end on the Maggie Dawn show with 8 guests a show and 15 sound cuts. And, oh, can you play this, that, and the other thing? The poor guy. Welcome to the team, Cardi. Here is a flaming dumpster fire for you, my friend. It is the Maggie Dawn show. Are we ready with that sound? Yeah, I can't hear what you're saying, Cardi, but I hope it's the right sound. We'll figure it out in just a second.
You got it.
You ready? Let it rip, Cardi.
I'm a lifelong conservative Republican. And some people will ask, how can a conservative Republican support a Democrat?
Nope.
This is the Jeff Flake sound, but that's all right. Terry, tell us about the video.
It encapsulates what these creatives said about the election in not wanting to sit out and instead choosing to get very vocal and very obvious with the message about the importance of voting. And what I understand from this partnership that the musicians, the artists, they're taking this to various community leaders who are sharing it in the community and saying, look at all of these people from all walks of artists' life, and they're saying, please, they're begging everybody, please go and vote. But they're doing it in their own creative way. And I just found that to be a beautiful message for everybody who might still be sitting on the fence that, you know, these are your neighbors who are creatives and they want you to vote. How about that?
Yes, everybody needs to vote. We will put the link to that video in our show notes for today. You can always find all of our show notes, a lot of the sources that we talk about, by going to civicmedia.us/shows. I had a little piece of something that was good and potentially overlooked for you, Terry. If you are from the Milwaukee area-ish, or frankly anywhere, you know that there are local plaintiffs' attorneys that run fun ads. Well, a woman on TikTok has gone completely viral. because she spoofed David Gruber with a costume and some videos in downtown Milwaukee. It was hilarious. Kudos to that TikToker. Kudos to you, Terry, for bringing us what's good, local, and overlooked. That's going to do it for me this week, folks. Dom Salvia is up next. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it's always better when we stand together. Thank you, Cardi. You're hanging in there, my man. We're going to get there together because that.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.